So this morning, if you want to go in 1 Peter chapter 1, please, in your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1, we will have a look at the seventh and final in our series on God's testing. So just by way of review, we first looked at the obedience test with Adam and Eve and with Israel. And then we looked second at the suffering test when we looked at the life of Job. Thirdly, we looked at the patience test with Abraham and Sarah, and also Luke 18, where God tells us that he will bear long. And then fourthly, we looked at the sacrifice test, where God told Abraham to take his son up on the Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. And God often asks for sacrifices from us. Then we started looking at Israel's life, if you will, after being delivered from Egypt. And the first test they faced was the protection test. Will God watch out for me when it seems like there's no other solution? And then we looked at the provision test last week. Will God meet my needs? And Israel kept asking that question, and God blessed them and provided for them, but they tested God and tempted God through their disobedience and lack of faith. And today we look at the temptation test. Now, there is one other one, and that is the false doctrine test, but we covered that on Wednesday night about 6 weeks ago, so just listen to it on the internet. It's called false prophets. There shall be false prophets among us. But today, the temptation test here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, notice the Bible says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So I've entitled the message, Manifold Temptations. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our hearts this morning. As we look at this matter of temptations, Lord, may it truly touch our hearts and change us today, Lord, and just give us a fresh perspective on your purpose in these things, and Lord, the response that we should have. So we are thankful for this opportunity. We pray you'll use your word in our lives and be glorified in this service. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So the Bible, he talks about wherein you greatly rejoice. He's referring back to the beginning of the chapter where he talks about the fact that we are secure in our salvation, that we're kept by God through Jesus Christ, that we're to be rejoicing in our Christian lives. But he says, verse six, though now for a season, from the day we're saved until the day we leave this earth, either through death or the rapture, there are going to be seasons of temptation, as we see in this passage. And we don't know how long those seasons are, how intense they are, but they're going to be there. And, you know, he mentions that word in verse 6, manifold temptations, which is the title of the message. That word manifold means many and various. There you go. We're going to have many and we're going to have various temptations for a season. Now, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was tempted, the devil came and tempted him, and then the Bible says he left for a season. And we just don't know, but we know they're going to happen. We know they're going to come. And God says there in verse 6, if need be, if God still has work to do in your life. So is there anyone here that is perfectly like Jesus? I guess if need be then. I guess they're going to keep coming. And you know, when those temptations come, our perspective needs to be, what is God trying to do in my life right now? Often our perspective isn't that. Our perspective is, this isn't fair, this shouldn't be happening, why do I have to go through this? But if our perspective would be, what's God trying to teach me? What's God trying to do in my life? I think we would be more likely to grow. And God could use that temptation for good in our lives. Now, of course, if we succumb to the temptation, then we've sinned and then we've got to deal with the sin. But we are going to be tested with temptations. And they're going to be varied and they're going to be many. And that is the fact of the Christian life, that they need be. God needs them to refine us, to change us, to grow us in our Christian lives. Now, those temptations are going to come from three primary sources. Number one, ourselves. And that is the most common. If you look at Romans 13, 14, our temptations primarily come from ourselves, our own flesh, our own weaknesses, our own lusts. You know, we read later on in James where the Bible says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth death. Sin, when it is finished, and so forth. So the Bible tells us that our own flesh is weak. Notice Romans 13, 14. The Bible says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The lusts of the flesh, that is the number one source of temptation, is our own old man, the flesh. At times, the devil will be allowed to tempt us. We see in the book of Job where God allowed the devil to tempt him. He was tempted to curse God by his wife. Remember where she said, just curse God and die? But he is referred to in 1 Thessalonians 3:5 as the tempter. That's one of the things that he does, is he tempts. And so temptation is going to come from our flesh. The temptation is going to come from the devil. And then thirdly, of course, it's going to come from the world. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, where the Bible explains that the temptations of the world come in three basic categories. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. If you study this out, you'll find that these three categories were the three areas that Eve was tempted in Genesis and the three areas where Jesus was tempted in the desert in Matthew chapter 4. But notice 1 John 2:16, the Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So temptations are going to come from our flesh, they're going to come from the devil, and they're going to come from this old world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How many are there going to be? Manifold. Manifold temptations. Many and varied temptations we are going to face in our Christian walk. It's one of the tests that God is going to use to develop us and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. But why does God allow this? Because God wants us to be better. You know, we're doctrinally, we're already justified. We're going to heaven. We're a child of God. But practically, we're not where God wants us. God wants us to grow and develop and be better for Him, more effective Christians. And He's going to use testing to bring that about. And so back in our passage, the Bible says, verse 7, 1 Peter 1, the trial of your faith. There it is. The trial of your faith. The trial of what? Manifold temptations. The trial of your faith. God tries His children. The Bible says in Psalms 11:5, the Lord trieth the righteous. Proverbs 17:3, the Lord trieth the hearts. God does try His children. But why? For our good. Now, it may not feel like it or seem like it at the time, but God never does anything or never allows anything that is not in His perfect will and that is not what's best for His children. If that will be our perspective, think about it. If our perspective on temptations is God has allowed this and He has a reason for it, we're a lot more likely to respond properly than if our perspective is this is a mistake or this is wrong, or I'm angry about this, which is, of course, how Israel responded, isn't it? And by the way, Israel was tempted too. Let me show you an example in Judges chapter 3, if you would turn there. Remember, Israel went through a lot of tests in the desert. And then, of course, their final test before they were to go to the Promised Land was to get the report from the spies. And they failed that test and were sent back into the desert for 40 more years. Well, after that all passed, they finally were allowed to go into the Promised Land. And one of the instructions was to clean it out. Kill everybody. You say, well, that seems harsh, but it was God's will. Because God knew what they were made of, and He knew that if any were left behind, they would be a temptation. Well, notice Judges chapter 3, verse 1. Now, these are the nations with the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel's had not known all the wars of Canaan. Look at verse 4. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. They were left behind to tempt Israel. They failed as a nation, and they did go astray, and they did worship false gods, and they did stray away from the ways of the Lord because of these nations that were surrounding them. But that was their choice. And it's our choice. God tempts us to grow us. Or he allows us to be tempted, I'm sorry. The Bible says God doesn't tempt any man in James chapter 1, verse 13. He allows us to be tempted to grow us. Now, if you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see that God always has a purpose in these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Notice what God says about our afflictions. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, it's good for us. David said in Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We learn more about God's word and about God's ways in the midst of trials than we do on the mountaintops. That's just the facts. And we are going to face manifold temptations. Go back to our passage, 1 Peter 1. The Bible says, the trial of your faith. So why is God allowing these temptations? To try our faith. But notice what he says in verse 7. Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. God sees our faith as something precious. Isn't that beautiful? More precious than gold is our faith. But just like with gold, it can only be purified with fire. And that's what he says here in verse 7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. The fire of manifold temptations. It's a fact of life. We're going to face them. Yes, our faith is precious to God, and he wants to make it refined. He wants to make it better. And he's going to do that with the trial of manifold temptations. And as Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That is true of temptations as well. God uses them, allows them to be used in our lives to refine us. Now, the good news is, we looked at this a couple Wednesday nights ago. Go to 2 Peter 2:9. The good news is that the one who allows the temptations, which is God. Now remember, the temptations don't come from God. They come from the devil. They come from the flesh. They come from the world. But God is sovereign, and God allows them. The one who allows them is also the one who gives us the power to resist them. He's also the one who gives us the power to not succumb to them. He's the one who has the power to deliver us from them. Look at 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of what? Temptations. There it is. The Lord knoweth. You mean the creator of the universe knows how? Well, that's a silly thought, isn't it? He knows everything. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And we know 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God, who indwells us, gives us the power to resist the temptations. And when we do, you know what happens? We grow. We grow. And we're stronger for the next one. Because, by the way, there's manifold. There's going to be another one and another one and another one. It's going to be different because manifold means many and various. There's going to be another temptation. So God delivers us. God gives us a way of escape. So He allows it, but He also gives us the power to not succumb to it. And by the way, He understands. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. This is a very beautiful truth. Hebrews 4:15. When it comes to temptations. Look what God says here. For we have not an high priest, it's taught about Jesus, Hebrews 4:15, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, look what it says, but was in all points tempted, like as we are. Now that phrase, all points, that's an important phrase. It means that there's not one temptation that you can face that Jesus didn't face. That's what it says. Now, Jesus never sinned, praise God. He was God. But He still faced every temptation, it says, in all points, tempted like as we are. He understands. He understands our temptations. And so when we are tempted and we come to Him, He's been there. And He can give us the strength, He can give us the help to get through it. And when we do that, we grow. Which is the whole point. That your faith be tried with fire. And look what he says, verse 7 of 1 Peter 1. That it might be found unto praise and honor and glory. That's what it's all about. God's wanting our faith to bring Him praise and honor and glory. He wants us to bring Him praise and honor and glory. So He's going to allow tests and trials in our lives to refine us, to grow us, to make us more like Him. And temptations is one of the things He will allow to make that a reality. So it really comes down to our response. By the way, speaking of response, look at James chapter 1. Our response is the key. Remember, Israel's response in the desert was the key to their punishment and their failure. Their response was constantly what? One of murmuring and complaining and blaming God. Our response when we are tempted needs to be, James 1:2, my brethren, count it what? All joy. Wow. When you fall into what? Diverse temptations. That's the old usage of the word diverse, which means all different kinds. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Imagine that. It's all about our perspective. Look at verse 12 of James 1 while you're there. The Bible tells us, blessed is the man that what? Endureth temptation. Endureth. In other words, we don't succumb to it. We face it. We endure it. We get God's help. We get through it. We endure it. The Bible says, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. One of the ways we can show God we love him is by enduring temptation. And as we endure temptation, we will grow. God understands. God hasn't made a mistake. God is allowing those things in our lives to grow us, to teach us, so that our faith, though be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So this question had quite an answer. Does God test? He sure does. And it's not going to stop. It's not because He's cruel or mean. It's because He loves us. And it's because He wants us to be more like Jesus. And He knows what we're made of, and He knows how weak we are, and He knows the only way we can be stronger is through testing. Gold, make it more pure. You know how you make metal stronger? Just keep testing it. Keep beating it up. heat it up and beat it up. If you want the steel to be stronger, that's what you got to do. You know how he makes Christians stronger? He tests us. One of the ways he tests us is through manifold temptations. But it all comes down to our response. Let's pray.